The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Majority of the material that will be used in this evening shiur is drawn from a Shabbos Shuvah shiur that the Maral delivered in Prague in Shnas Shin Mem Gimel 1582, and it's printed in the back of the Sefer Gur Der HaGela. The Gemara in Masechet Nido, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, states as follows. Reb Samloi Darshant, he expounded. When the fetus is in the womb of the mother, what is he like? Lepinkas Shemekupa Lemunach. He's like a ledger, an account book, which is folded over. Yodaval states Tov, his two hands are on his two chins. Shtei Atzilov al Beis HaKevesov, his two elbows are on his two knees. Beis HaKovov al Beis HaKevesov, and his two heels are bent up behind him against his bottom. This means he's completely folded. His head is not upright. His feet are not upright. And his back and trunk are not upright. But his hands are folded where they're holding his chins, and his elbows are resting on his knees. His knees are folded in front of him, and his heels are bent behind him where they're up against his bottom. So he's folded, the Gemara says, like a pinkos. A pinkos is an account book, a ledger. Bereshe Munach Lei Ben Birkov. And his head is bent over between his knees. Piv sosum v'tibur posuach. His mouth is closed, but the cord that connects him to his mother is open. V'eichel mima shima yecheles, v'sheisa mima shima sheisa. He eats from what his mother eats, and he drinks from what his mother drinks. V'einu meitzir ea shem yareges imo. And he does not excrete anything, lest it would endanger his mother. But once he goes into the air of the world, what was closed, his mouth, becomes open. What was open, the cord to his mother, becomes closed. And if this did not take place immediately, then he could not live. And while he's in the womb, there's a candle, there's a light over his head. But Seifu Mabit be Seifu Elamat Seifu. And his light gives him a power to see the entire world, from one end of the world to the other. The Altitama. A person shouldn't be surprised. How is it possible to see from one end of the world to the other? Share Adam Yoshin, Kan Vereya Chaleim, Baspamayo. Because many times we also see from one end of the world to the other. When we're sleeping, we can have a dream which takes place in a different land, and we see what's going on. And there are not days which are so good in a man's entire life as these days that the child is in the womb of the mother. And he is taught the entire Torah. Kivin Shabona Avraelo, but once he comes out into the air of the world, Bomalach, an angel comes with Satray Alpiv and slaps him on his mouth. And this causes him to forget all of the Torah. And he is not allowed out of the world until he takes a shvuah, until he takes an oath. States that every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall swear to me. When is the time when every knee will bow to me? That's at the day of a person's death. When is the time when every tongue shall swear to me? That's right before his birth. That who will be allowed to ascend the mountain of Hashem? Only those who have clean hands and a pure heart and did not swear falsely. It's referring to the shvuah, to the oath which he has to take right before his birth. Mahi ha-shvuah. And what is this oath? He takes an oath that he will be righteous and he will not be evil. Person should know that even if all of the world tells him that you're a great righteous person, in your eyes you must still view yourself as not so righteous, as a roshim. And part of the oath is that he should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pure. And all of the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are pure. And the soul which we are placing in you is also tahor, is also pure. If you will guard it in purity, good. And if not, then I will take it away from you. This can be exemplified by a Kain. Shemosa truma lama oritz, took some fruit, took some grain, which was truma, which is the gift to the kahanim that has to be dealt with in purity, and he gave it to another kohen who was an ignoramus. So he warned him, in matok shandra tarmut, if you guard this carefully, with tarah, with purity, good, vimla, but if not, and you let it become one, then the din is going to burn it. So I have to burn it in front of you. So is he on earth, on earth. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Torah, servants are Torah, and the Neshama, the soul, which he gives Torah. If that in purity, good. If not, I will have to burn it in front of you. This is what Reb Samei Darshan explained. The Maral says that he's telling us, Reb Samei, some very interesting information. But what is he trying to teach us with all this? What can we learn from this? Besides some genealogical facts. In Parashat Haazino, which we will be reading next Shabbos, states in the fourth posuk, Lamed Beis Dalet Hatzur Tomim Po'ole, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tomim Po'ole, his works are perfect. His works are perfect. There is nothing lacking in whatever he does. Now when one views a person, we see that he's a frail human being. He has the Yetzer Hara, the drive to do evil. He comes onto this world, he's constantly subjected to all types of trials and tribulations, nishenis. Most of them, he usually is an utter failure at. many people do not seem to achieve too much. And in the end, they die. In this world, which is such a complicated world, and chaotic, confused world, it would seem almost impossible for a person to achieve true greatness, true direction. So one could state that man, most men, are almost destined to self-destruction or to failure. If whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes is perfect, and man is the Nivchar HaNivroi, man is the most chosen and perfect of all his creations, then man surely must also be perfect. And this does not seem the case. So Reb Samloy is teaching us, let us look at the very beginnings of the creation of man. We will inspect the fetus, the vlad b'me'imoy, in the womb of the mother. And perhaps there we will learn the perfections of man, how the Almighty created man to succeed in this world, not to fail in this world, but to achieve and to succeed in this world, to overcome everything which seemingly is diametrically opposed to the progress and the true achievements of man. And therefore, Reb Samloy decided that he will examine very closely the vlad b'me'imoy, the child in the womb of the mother. And it's full of secrets, full of great secrets to teach us. A few of these we will draw from this evening. Firstly, it states, first principle is Deimel Pinkus. It's like a folded Munachum Akutl, a folded Pinkus. A Pinkus is an account book, a ledger book. What is the purpose of an account book, a ledger book? The entire purpose is, yes, it is written in that book how much you owe someone else and how much someone else owes you. This is the entire purpose of the Pinkus. Rav Samloy is telling us that the child in the womb of the mother takes this form because you should know that man is a Pinkus. Man is an account book, a ledger. And the main difference between man and animal is that man is a ledger and animal is not. What is meant by this? Man's entire creation and entire life is simply the writing of how much does he owe the Almighty and how much does the Almighty owe him. And everything that man does is recorded in this manner. What does he owe the Almighty? Kama chayev l'Hashem. And how much is Hashem chayev? What does Hashem owe to him? Rashi, in the beginning of Bereshis, points out that when the Almighty created the animal, it states Vayitzer with one yud, creation with one yud. When he created man, it states Vayitzer with two yuds, because shtei yitziras, there were two creations in man and only one in animal. Animal was created to live in this world and to die in this world. It's the end of the road. Man was created to live in this world and to live in the next world. Even though he dies in this world, he lives again in the next world. But according to his deeds in this world, if he achieves mitzvahs and masum tovim, then he lives on in the next world. If he doesn't, then he doesn't. And he lives on in the next world accordingly to those acts. That's the whole difference between man and an animal. Therefore, accounts do not have to be kept by animal. There's no account books kept by all of the animals. But man's entire essence, he was brought into this world for schar and einish, for reward and punishment. Therefore, accounts must be kept. This is not a byproduct. This is the reason for man's creation. To give him reward. Therefore, careful accounts must be kept. And they are written on him. Everything he does is recorded and written and imprinted on man himself. Therefore, bedinu, it is proper that at the beginning of his creation, he should look like a pinkos. He should look like a folded account book. A second point in regards to this, that we must always be cognizant of it. Not only is it sufficient that this is the fact, but this is a fact that we always must be cognizant of. Because if we are, then this itself will guide us in the proper way. This itself will serve as the greatest deterrent from the Yetzer Hara, from the power of evil which constantly tries to destroy us. This is what it states in the Mishnah in the Ovis, in Perek Beis, Yistakol Begimel Dvorim Ve'enato Boli De'Aveira. Always remember three things and you won't come to Aveira. Damas U'Malamimeko. Remember three things that happens above you. Ayin Re'ir, that all of your acts are being seen. Eizen Shamas, that everything that you say is being heard. V'chol Ma'asecho B'Sefer D'Nichtovin. And every act is recorded in a sefer. This is what the Rebbe said. If you remember these three things, this itself will deter you from doing wrong. Why? Because if a person feels, as well, to what value are my acts? What value are my words? What value are my thoughts? They're no value. So therefore, he doesn't care what he does. That's the animal. But if everything that he does is seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything that he says is heard by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything is written and recorded in the Sefer, then man will know he has to be very careful. If he goes to the bank, he does a transaction and he knows everything is recorded, he's careful. If he talks on the telephone and he knows it's recorded, and how many minutes they're charging him for each word. So he's very careful. It's all written in the Sefer. So it's not only important that this is the fact, but also it is teaching us that we must be constantly aware. And then in Atom Boli De Aveira, the man was created to be guarded from Aveira. This is what it states so many times in the Torah. Ani Hashem Elokecho. I am the Lord your God. You shall fear the Lord your God. Why does it say so many times in the Torah? So Rashi says, Nemon l'shalim. You can trust me. And the Ramban brings, at the end of Parashat Bo, that it's from the Yisodis Amuna, from the cornerstones of faith and belief, that a person must believe that a mitzvah brings reward, and an aveira chalila will bring punishment. Person thinks, look, I'll do mitzvahs, but I don't know what good they are. Then he's kefir b'teiras Meisher Rabbeinu. He's denying the Torah of Meisher Rabbeinu. He says, this is from the Yisod Amuna. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes consistently in the Torah, Ani Hashem. I am the Lord your God, you can trust me, Ne'amon L'shalem. Ne'amon HaBarabais L'shalem. You can trust me to pay. I will pay you for every act that you do. Why? Because it's all written. It's written in the person. The Gemara brings in Hagiga as well. It states, do not believe evil. That many times people will say, I'll do this, and ein bekach klum. Doesn't matter. I'll do this act, and it's not so serious. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive me. The Gemara says, that's the Yetzirah. Yetzirah comes to the person and says, do this, even though you're not supposed to do it. Eat this, even though you're not supposed to eat this. Eat it. And don't worry about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will overlook it. So the Gemara says, don't believe it. It says, Al Ta'aminu Bara. Do not believe evil. This is evil coming to entice you. Because everything that is done in this world is reported. And on everything, judgment will be dealt. And therefore, if a thought comes to a person that I'll do this which is not good, and Hashem will overlook it, or I'll do this which is good, but it doesn't mean anything, this is the enticement of the Yetzirah. It's very important for a person to know. Because HaKol Nikhtovim B'Sefer, everything is written down. Then the Gemara brings asks, me made me, if every act means so much, so how are we going to know each act? Who will testify to it? So the Gemara says, Abne Beise Vekeres Beise Shalada made Eden by. First, the Gemara says, the first opinion, this is in the name of Reish Lakish, that the stones and the wood of a person's house will testify to him, on him, exactly what he did in this world. Then the Gemara says a second opinion. Shnei malochi ashores amaladni shay beaten by. The two angels which accompany him, they will testify to him. Because it states, ki malochi v'tzav aloch nishmorcho b'chol drachecho. It's a posuk which will say that the angels which I have commanded to guard you in all of your ways. Then the Gemara says, nishmosi shalodim idabai. His soul will testify against him. And then the Gemara says, a fourth opinion, evolv shall odom eden boy. The organs and the limbs of the person's body will testify. Now what does this all mean? It means as follows. A person's house will be the testimony of what he did in this world. Why? Because in the Medrash of Kehelis,
Shabbos Rabbah Perek Yud Beis. The pasuk states ki heilecha adam al beis elamai. When a person leaves this world, he goes al beis elamai. He goes to the house of his world. Beis olam leitziv al beis elamai. It doesn't say he goes to the house of a world, but to the house of his world. What does this mean? Omer Eish Lokish, Lemelech Shunikmas Lebedinai, V'imai Duchsin V'apachsin. This can be exemplified by a king who has come into a city. And with him is his entire regiment, his entire entourage, his princes, his ambassadors, his servants, his entire entourage is there. Afal pi, shekulam nichnasu b'shar echod. Even though they all come in through one gate, kol echod ve'echad heilech v'sheilech lechvi kfeite. Even though they all enter one gate, but each one, when they come into the city, is treated differently. The king is brought to the palace. His princes are given also rooms in the palace. His ambassadors are given really fine accommodations. His servants are sent to other accommodations. His grooms for his horses are sent to other accommodations. So even though they all came through the same gate, but this does not mean to say that they are all given the same honor and accommodation. Same thing by people. Even though everyone dies, and death is a gate, it's a gate from this world to the next world, it doesn't mean that they all get the same accommodation. See? It does not mean that they all go to the same place. But each one goes to his accommodation. And that's why the pasuk says, "Ki heilecha adam al beis elamai." That man goes to his world. Every man goes to his own world. Now, what is his own world? He builds his own world. He builds his own world in this world. All of his mitzvahs and all of his deeds are stones and wood and plaster for his home in the next world. Therefore, when the Gemara said, "Me made, who will testify on the acts of a person?" Avni Beisai, his house will testify. Because we'll see what kind of house that he has in the next world. Everything that a person does here, that's another brick in the house of the next world. So from his house that is being built in the next world, that will testify to exactly all of his acts in this world. That was the first opinion in the Gemara. Who will testify? Avni Beisai. Then the Gemara said a second opinion. You don't have to come on to the Avni Beisai. Malachi Ashorish Malavi Beisai. The angels which accompany him, they will testify. Here the Gemara teaches us something very great. A person shouldn't think that what do I have to do with angels? Angels are in another world. What do they have to do with me? It's not so. Because it states explicitly. We say it on Friday nights. Ki malochav yitzav aloch lishmorcho bechol drochecho. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that I am commanding my angels to walk with you, to guard you in all of your ways. Yaakov Avinu said, Hamalach ha'gael esi mikol ro. The angel which was with me all of the time and has redeemed me from all evil, he should guard you also. A man walks with angels. This is the greatness of a man. So this means that a man can live in this world, but he soars into the next world.
But he only walks with angels. As long as he's dovak be'elyonim, he cleaves to upper worlds. If he starts to sink into impurities of the material world, then he's not going to drag the angels down with him. They will remain where they are, but he will become distanced from them. So me made, who will testify on the acts of man? The two angels will see how close they are to man. If they're right near him, that's a testimony that the man has done mitzvahs in Ma'asim Tovim, Torah. If they are far from him, that's a testimony that he has sunk, he has done averus. So is all we need to see the two angels that are with him. Shnei malachei ashoris, hey me'idin boy. Then there's a third opinion in the Gemara. Nishmasei me'idin boy. His soul will testify. We don't have to look at the angels and we don't have to look at the house. We can look right at the soul of man. Because when he does Torah and mitzvahs, then the soul is elevated. And if it's elevated, it becomes Rakavet Tahora. It shines, becomes beautiful, becomes pure. If he doesn't have Averus, and he sinks into the material world, then he brings his soul with him. And then the soul becomes shackled to the material body and loses its purity, loses its shine. So the soul itself will testify. Nishmosei shalom b'idin boy. And then a fourth opinion. We don't have to look at the soul either. We can look at man himself. Eivorov shel Odom. And here also the Gemara is coming to teach us something very great. Eivorov shel Odom eidin boy. The body of man himself will testify. Because it states when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he created him b'tzelem elokim, in the image of Hashem. This doesn't only mean spiritually in the image of Hashem, but this also means physically in the image of Hashem. Like we once spoke at length. And a sign of this is because the Gemara says that a man has 613 different parts to the body. Why 613? Correlating to the 613 mitzvahs of the body. Ramach Evorim Vishasah Gidim. 248 organs, and Shasas 365 tendons and nerves, which correlates to the Esses and Lesases, the positive commandments and the negative commandments. Now, what does commandments, mitzvahs, have to do with the physical organs of the body? From there we learn that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, states in the Torah, Kitzalmenu, Kidmusenu, in my image, doesn't mean merely spiritually, means physically also. The physical image of man is also sanctified. And therefore when man lives in accordance to Torah and mitzvahs, his entire body becomes sanctified. If he lives not in accordance to Torah and mitzvahs, then it's still nimshal ki behemas nidbo. He becomes similar to the animal. And this is apparent in man. Chokhmas Odom Tayer Ponov states that the wisdom of Torah and the purity of man comes forth from the shine of his face. And we cannot see it all. But in the next world it will be seen. So therefore the fourth opinion in the Gemara is you don't have to come onto the house that he's building through his acts, or through the angels what he walks with, or through his soul, but a vorev shel Odom. the body of man will testify exactly to all of his acts here. So from all of this, though, we learn that Hakol Masefer Nichtovim, when we say all of man's acts are recorded, doesn't mean it's recorded in a book somewhere. It means it's recorded on him. All of his acts, good or bad, are recorded and imprinted in man himself. And therefore, the child in the mother's womb sits kepinchas munach amakupel, like an account book folded over. Because his essence is an account book. Where whatever he will do will be recorded in him. And this is the key difference between him and an animal. What an animal does is not recorded. There's no reason why. But whatever a man will do is recorded in him. Therefore, this is a fact. And this is a fact that we must constantly be aware of. And then man will be more careful with all of his acts. Then the Rav Samloy said, Shtei Yodov al Shtei Tzedov. His two hands are on his two chins. This is how he's sitting. Why? The reason for this is because this is how a man sits when he's deep in thought. When a man is deep in thought, he rests his chins in his hands and he thinks. Especially when he calculates. And Kodesh Baruch Hu created the fetus with this nature that he was created to think. To think and to calculate. Why? Because if he constantly thinks and if he constantly uses his mind and calculates, then he will succeed in the world. If he doesn't think, then his trip through this world will be disastrous. The Mishnah Novice tells us, Havi Mechashev Schar Aveira, Hefsid Mitzvah Keneged Schar Aveira. A person must always calculate. If he wants to do something, and it's a mitzvah, that's difficult. It's going to cost him money. Or it's going to cost him time. It's going to cost him energy. If he doesn't think, then he won't do it. Why should he do it? It's costing him money. It's costing him time. It's costing him energy. So he won't do it. But if he thinks, that if I don't do it, what will I have? Well, I'll have saved this money, I'll save this time, I'll save this energy. But if I do it, what will I have? I'll have a reward which is 1,000 times more than that. When a businessman sits like that and he's thinking, so then he knows immediately what to do. Fortunately today, when we think, it's not in that position because we're using calculators. We're replacing the mind with machines. And there are many great historians that say that nations such as Nazi Germany emerges when minds are replaced with machines. When the technocrats overpower the human mind. This is what we have to be careful with.
Man was created to think with his mind. All this he must be machashev. Why? Because the Gemara says, shtei drochim lefonov. All this, there are two ways in front of man. There's never the clear road. There are always two ways in front of him. And if a man is driving along the road, and there's a fork in the road, he doesn't think, he's not going to necessarily end up where he wants to end up. This world is always a fork in the road. Shtei drochov lefonov. Hinei nosati lefonecho es ha-chayim es ha-moves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. I place before you two ways. A way to life and a way to death. To bochar to b'chayim, choose the way to life. But to do this, you must constantly think. Always think. And therefore, the child was created that he's in a position of thinking. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not take that I didn't think of this as an answer. Because man was given a mind. States he's stalik, minas fakus. Person should run away from doubt. Doubt destroys man. And constantly his task in this world is to bring light to his direction. He stalik minas fakus. Run from doubt. Gemara says that someone who fulfills mitzvahs, but he's confused, and therefore he does a little like Beis Shammai and a little like Beis Hillel. He takes the chumras of Beis Shammai and the chumras of Beis Hillel. Harei zeh ksil b'cheshech heilech. This is the fool that walks in darkness. And a man that walks in darkness is like an animal. Why? Because what is the main power that man has over the animal? He has the power of the mind. Doubt is where there's not sufficient mind. There's not sufficient light. That's what doubt is. Then he's the level of an animal. If he wants to come to the level of man, he has to constantly labor and think, and search. That's why the Mishnah says, "Ein simcha kahatoris asveikas." The greatest joy is when a doubt is resolved, because then he comes to manhood. To give an idea of how far we are held responsible for using our minds. Shlomo HaMelech wrote in his Sefer Keheles, the very last pasuk, Ki es kol maaseh lekim yovei b'mishpat al kol melom imtei bimro. Every act comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu for judgment. I'll call Nelom, even if it's something which is totally concealed, if good or evil. So the Gemara says, we can understand what it means, every act comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what does it mean, I'll call Nelom, even if it's concealed? In Taib Imro, if it's good or evil. So the Gemara brings also Masechta Chagiga. And Afei. What does it mean, I'll call Nela? Omar Rav. So Rav says, Zeha Heireg Kino Bifnei Chavere V'Nimach Bo. If a bug, an insect, see, some type of despicable creature crawls upon a person or is crawling somewhere, and Reuven kills it, and it's in the presence of Shimon, and when Shimon sees it, it revolts him, then Reuven is brought to jail. You caused him anguish.
But I didn't mean it. You didn't mean it because you didn't think. That's an answer for an animal. Animal cannot think. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to man the most sophisticated mechanism the world has ever seen. It's greater than a million computers. To think. And you didn't think. That's what it means, I'll call Nela. Then the Gemara comes along. This is what Rav said. Shmuel Omar, Shmuel says no. It refers to Harok Yifnei Chavero Yvinimas. It refers to someone who spits. He has to spit. See, he spits. But it's in the presence of another person. And the other person is revolted. That's what it refers to. So what's Shmuel coming to add to Rav? In Rav's case, he did something that was not really necessary. So therefore he should have been more careful. But in Shmuel's case, where he's spitting, speaking about a person who has to spit, so he's doing something which is necessary. He's doing something which nature requires. So we would think, therefore, he has a stronger excuse. I did something which nature demanded. I didn't mean any harm. So why should I be held responsible? No, I call Yovel Bamishpat. It all comes to judgment. I call Nelam, even on something as concealed as that. You should have thought. From here we learn that we must be very, very careful of doing something, even if it's necessary, which might disgust someone else in his presence. If you want to do it, then you have to go away. But the Gemara is still not satisfied with that. The Gemara says, "My im tayvim ra." Shlema Melech said that you'll be held responsible for everything, even if it's concealed, even if it's good or bad. What does it mean, even if it's good? This is not good. So therefore, Amri the Berir, Rabbi Yannai says, it's not referring to those other things, because those other things are simple, that he'll be held responsible. But Shlema HaMelech is telling us it refers to Zaneisin Stokaloni Befarhesha. When someone does something good, but harm comes from it to another person. For example, he gives stoker to a poor man publicly. A poor man needs some money. He goes up publicly and gives him some money. The Gemara brings, Ki hod Reb Yannai chazel ugavret koyoy zuzil oni befahesho. Reb Yannai once saw a person give some money to a poor man publicly. Omale, he said, mutav delay aftore. It would have been better you wouldn't have given it to him. Because now that you gave it to him, you shamed him. So that's what it means, im tayvim ra. Not only if you do something which has no good in it, but even if you do something that has good in it, a mitzvah. If you do a mitzvah, like giving stoker, but from the mitzvah you caused tsar, you caused anguish to someone, you will be called to give account on it. That's what Shlema HaMelech said, I'll call Nelam even on something concealed as that. Now there the person has a very, very good alibi. He said, look, I was doing mitzvah. Why should I be held responsible? I was giving money to this man. The answer is, you should have done it privately. You should have called him over to the side and done it privately. So you'll reply, but I didn't think of that. Man was created to think. And then the Gemara goes further. The Gemara is still not satisfied with that. The Beir Pshli Amlei, Zahanesin Stokali Isha B'Seser. No, it's not referring to the other case. The other case is simple. You were mavayish someone. You shamed the person. It's simple that you're responsible. It's referring where you gave money to a poor woman and you gave it to her secretly. You didn't want to shame her, so you gave it to her secretly. And that's an aveira. Why is that an aveira? Because if someone sees you giving money to a woman, even if it's secretly, it can bring her to suspicion. Someone will say, why is Reuven very secretly handing money over to this woman? What's the purpose? And it will bring her to suspicion. And this can damage her reputation. Now, this is much more subtle than the other case. The other case is where I shame the person. Over here, I didn't shame anyone. Except somebody else is coming to suspect her. Well, that's not my business. That's al kol nelam. Even that he will be held responsible for. Because you should have thought that if you're handing over the money to a woman and you do it bedafki in a way that nobody's going to see, you should have thought that in case someone might see, you might damage your reputation. Deal with reputation of people. Shame talk, that's not a light matter. And then the Gemara goes even further. Rovo amar ze a meshagel ishtoi bosish eina mechutach barvish a bosish. Rovo said, no. That case also. That's obvious. But the case that Shlomo HaMelech is referring to is when you send meat home to your wife and it was meat. Today, all meat we get usually from the butcher shop is already ready for the pot. The fats are taken out. The arteries are taken out. Any other parts are taken out. It's salted. But it wasn't always like that. So the cases where a man sends some meat home to his wife, Erev Shabbos. He sends it home Erev Shabbos. So what did he do wrong? It's an aveira. Why? Because Erev Shabbos, your wife has so much to do. Now when she has to kasher this meat and take out all of the fats and all of the arteries and so forth, she's going to have to do a rush job. So you're putting her in a position where everything might not be done perfect. And if everything is not done perfect, you will have to stand account for that. That's what it means, al kol nelam. Now here the person has a good cheshbon. I mean, I didn't bring her to suspicion. I didn't shame anyone. It's a mitzvah. It's meat for Shabbos. It's speaking where she had time to do it. Now, you should have thought better. Because Erev Shabbos, with everything else to do, now she has to do a rush job on it. And it might not be proper. So you're putting a mikshul, you're putting a stumbling block in front of your wife. The Gemara says, when Rabbi Yechanan read this posuk, Kobochi, he wept. Evet sharabe shekele shkogus kizdeinis takone yishlei. If this is how exacting HaKadosh Baruch Hu is of all of the acts, is there hope for us? Rabbi Yechanan used to weep when he would come to this posuk. Now how many times do we do things? Mitei vadra. Many of times there are to begin with. We'll do things in front of other people that will revolt them or cause them anguish. But even mitzvahs we do, we'll do mitzvahs that tzar comes. And Shlomo HaMelech said that Hakol Yovi Bamishpot, everything will come to judgment. Al Kol Ne'elam, even the most concealed things, Im Teva Im Ra, if it was good or bad. And why do we do these things? The obvious answer is, it never occurred to me. Never occurred to me that Erev Shabbos, it won't get done, or someone might suspect this woman, or he'll be embarrassed, or whatever it might be, or he'll be revolted. It didn't occur to me. Therefore, when the baby is formed, he's formed with both hands on his chins, at a stance where a person thinks, he's thinking, because we were put here to think. Always to think. There's no answer, I didn't think of this. Man was given his great mind for the purpose of thinking. And therefore, if he's to succeed in this world, he must constantly think. The Gemara brings a case in Meid Koton, which we quoted not long ago. The Gemara says, and by Kotten Daf Hei, it's a posuk, v'shom derech ereno, v'yeshal, v'shom derech ereno v'yeshal akim. That the person who carefully assesses and calculates his ways, he will see in the Yeshua Selakim, he will see the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the next world. The Gemara brings a case there by someone who didn't think. Rivyana Havale Hachtam Vidu the Kulishasa of Amakshale. Rivyana had a student that the whole year he used to ask him all kind of questions and give Rivyana a difficult time. Bishabata the Regila Lehav Amakshale. When it came to the Shabbos of the Regal, the Shabbos of the Yantiv, and there are all kind of people used to come to the shir, he would be silent. He wouldn't ask him. Why? Because he was afraid that there were so many people and the Rebbe so much under pressure. And if he'll ask him something, maybe it'll come out embarrassing for the Rebbe. He would be silent. So the Gemara says, "V'shom derech erena b'yesh elokim." This is a person who's using his mind. There's what is known as the golem attitude. A person just goes, just walks. He doesn't know where he's walking. Because he does things one time, one way, he continues all the time to do it that way. And then there's the person with the mind. All the time he asks, but comes the Shabbos de Regilo, the Shabbos of the Regal, he didn't ask. So that's another great principle. That we learn from the child that if we're to succeed in this world, then it can only be with constant thinking, constant assessment. Then it states, Shteyakov al Shteyag Mesov. He has his two heels folded up behind him. His knees are bent and his two heels are folded up behind him, where they come up against his bottom. What is this? This is a kriya. He's in a bowed position. Rosh Hashanah, we gave a long shir on this. This is to teach us that now that he is created where he can guard himself from the evil, now his ultimate purpose is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is a king. Man is a king. This we must always realize. He was created B'Tselem Elokim, in the image of the Almighty, not only spiritually but physically. He was given a mind which supersends worlds. Greater than the greatest computers, because it is man that has created the computers. And he's Melech HaTachtonim. He was made king of this world. But he was given a spine. Well, he is upright like a king, but at the same time, he can bow forward as a servant. His task in this world is to stand upright in this world, over this world, but to bow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where he takes his kingship and he bows to the Melech Malachi Amalochim, the king of all kings. Therefore, in the womb of the mother, he is in a bowing position, getting ready for his task in this world. Now, there are three great adversaries that are going to stand against him when he gets out into this world. And that's what the Mishnah says, Akina v'ataiva v'akovid mitzines odem min ha'ilom. Man has jealousy, man has physical desire, man has a great pursuit of honor, glory and honor. And these three adversaries will destroy man. And why three? Because man has three sections. There's physical man, and if that's not held in perfection, then there's the taivas aguf, physical desire. There's the nefesh of man, the emotional life of man. If that's not held in perfection, then comes from there the jealousy, which leads to hatred, which leads to destruction. And then there's mental man, intellectual man, spiritual man. If that's not held in perfection, then there is the constant, endless quest of honor and glory. So these three things must be held all the time in control or perfection. Otherwise, the Mishnah Novi says, Meitzines Odom in Ha'ilav, they will destroy man. So the child has to be prepared for this. So we see, first of all, it states, Piv Sosem B'Tibore Tibure Pasuach. His mouth is closed, the cord is open. What does this teach us? Something, a great insight. The Maral says that the main desires of man, which are with him all of the time, are the desires of eating and drinking. Man constantly is eating and drinking. He constantly strives to eat and drink. Eating and drinking, things that one should not eat and things that one should not drink, not only macholim asurim, not only things that are forbidden to us, but even amongst what is permitted to us, but to eat things which are not good for us, or to drink things which are not good for us, or even to eat or drink things which are good for us but in excess. On that the Chazal tell us two things. Firstly, Hashemer l'shene yopiv shemer mitzores nafshay. He who guards his tongue and his mouth, tongue refers to his speech. Shemer nafshay mitzores rabbeis. I think it's Shemer mitzores nafshay. He who guards his tongue from speech that he should not speak, and his mouth from eating or drinking which he should not eat or drink, will guard himself from many tzoros. Rambam writes, Chaloim roim gedalim v'roim me'oid. A person through his eating and drinking habits will bring upon himself great and horrible sicknesses, Rachman al-Islam. The Gemara tells us, Harbei meisim b'lei itom. There are many people that die before their time. We shouldn't think that everybody dies. We always say when someone dies, we say, Aziz Bashir. It's not so, the Gemara says. Not so at all. A man, Cholila, jumps off of roof. It's not Bashir. Man kills himself. It's not Bashir. We are living in a society where a huge proportion of tzores are self-inflicted. Ask doctors of the cases they see. Are self-afflicted, inflicted, brought upon man by himself. And on that you don't say, Aziz Bashir, Tera Koresh Baruch Hu didn't do. That man did to himself. The Gemara says, many die below, b'lay itom, before the time. Before she bring that of the greatest killers of man before his times is because of what he eats and he drinks. And today modern science is learning more and more about this every day, which we don't have time to go into today now. But this is all because of Taivis Gufa, because it tastes good. Desire, physical desire. That's one thing that comes from that. A second thing that comes from that is when a man is led about through Taivis Gufay, then he becomes a person who is physical. If you have a person who has a dog on a chain and the dog is walking in the front, if I lead the dog, then I'm the master, he's the servant. If the dog leads me, then he's the master and I'm the servant. If the time of the desire leads the man, then the man sinks down to the level of animal, because animal also has such desires. If man leads the desire, then the desire is the servant. Man is the master. That's a different story. And once a person teaches himself how to become a follower of his desires of eating and drinking, then he is teaching himself how to become a follower of all of his physical desires. And he sings. So what is the right way? We must learn from the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the child. He eats. But he eats not because he's driven by desire. He has no desire, because desire comes from the mouth. And his mouth is closed. He is fed through the cord of the mother. So why is he eating? He's not eating because he's seeking pleasure. He's eating kidei kiyum aguf. He's eating for health. His constant eating is determined only by the needs of the health of the body, not because what he desires to eat. And that is man in his perfection. Man must enjoy what he eats. He must be mevorech Hashem on what he eats. But the drive to eat must be his intellect. The drive to drink must be his intellect. And then he must enjoy it. So therefore the embryo is built in order there can be no irregularity in the taivas aguf, in the physical desires. Then it states, Eichel mimashi ima eicheles, Vishesa mimashi ima eicheso. He eats from what his mother eats, and he drinks from what his mother drinks. Here's also something profound. Kina, a second quality which destroys man, is jealousy. And this in our society, we see people all the time are destroying themselves because of jealousy, of overambition. What is jealousy? To desire something which is not yours. Something that's not yours, to desire it. The Gemara tells us, in Yuma, in Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, what it says, "Ein odem negea b'mucher lechaveri." A person should know. A person should never say, "Shall yidag leima pleni mekapeach panososi," that someone is taking away my panoso. Because "Ein odem negea b'mucher lechaveri," what is set aside for Reuven, Shimon will never have. What is set aside for Shimon, Reuben will never have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to everyone what he wants to give to that person. What is not set aside for him, he won't have. What is set aside for him, nobody else will have. And therefore, Al Yidok, don't be Mekana. Don't desire what is not yours, because it was not meant to be yours. This we learn from the child in the womb of the mother. Because a child is in his own world. Every child in his own world. He eats from what his mother eats. He drinks from what his mother drinks. It's impossible for the child to take a parnoso which is not in his world. Would it be possible for the embryo to eat something that his mother's not eating? And whatever his mother eats, no one can take from him. No one can take what belongs to him. Therefore, it's not possible kino by him, jealousy by him. From here we learn how a man was made for this world. What is set aside for you, take and enjoy. What does not come your way, pursue it. But if it doesn't come your way, then it's not for you. Don't worry about it. It's for someone else. And then the Gemara tells us, Reisha ben Birkov. Actually, the Reisha ben Birkov is right before the last two. His head is between his knees. Why? Why is his head between his knees? That's to tell us how one must control the covet, the quest for honor. States, Havishfal Ruach Mi'aid, a person must be very humble in this world. A person must not look towards greatness, material greatness and honor in the world, but he must look towards the ground. Like Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no one greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, no one more royal than Moshe Rabbeinu. And it states, Onof Mikol Odom. He was more humble and had greater humility than every other person. This is the quality of Torah. It says, Torah does not find itself in the high places. It goes to the people who hold themselves humble. So the child in the womb of the mother has his head downwards, because this is his tikkun. This is perfection by him. And now with this he's guarded against the kino and the taiva and the kovid, which destroy man if it's not held in proportion. Then it states, Ner delek ha-reishe ubo mabit misefe elamad sefe. A candle, a light is over his head, and he can see from one end of the world to the other. Why can he see from one end of the world to the other because of this candle? Because it's not a physical candle. Everything that's physical has limitations. So physical light has limitations. This is a spiritual candle. This is a light from the Ziv Ashkina. It's a light from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. He's endless. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no limitation. If it's a spiritual light, then he can see the entire world from one end of the world to the other. Why is he Zeicher? Why does he get this candle, this light? And we see that once he's born, he doesn't have it, because then he cannot see anymore. Certainly not from one end of the world to the other. So the answer is because he is Sholem now. He is perfect. He's upright. There's no kina type of a covet. He doesn't desire what is not his mother's. And he's not looking for COVID. And he's not going after his taivas aguf, his physical desires. And therefore he's satisfied. Totally satisfied. And he lacks nothing. And that's why it says, Ein lecho yomim, sheshori b'taiv. There are not such good days in a person's entire life. Totally satisfied. This world is just the opposite. Because we see that the instant he's born, what is the first thing that he wants? He wants to eat. He goes immediately to the mother's breast. All of a sudden, when he came into this world, that satisfaction was destroyed. If he lost his satisfaction, he's chosar, he's lacking, then he loses the light. But in the womb he has this light. From here we learn great things. We learn that if a person wants Ziv HaShchina, if he wants the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he must be Sholem. He must be totally complete and satisfied. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is complete. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lacks nothing. To identify with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then a person must be this way also. Otherwise he cannot identify. And this is why Malamdin Esei Kol HaTorah Kula. This is why he can learn the entire Torah. Because only someone who lacks nothing can learn Kol HaTorah Kula. Why? Because Torah is Hashem Temima. The Torah lacks nothing. Torah is complete. And if you want to identify with Torah, then you also must be complete. Where do we see this from? The Mechilta brings this in Yisro. It states when Torah was given, Kol Abalemumi Nisrapu. All types of sick people became cured. The blind that were at Har Sinai all of a sudden were able to see. The deaf were able to hear. The crippled were able to walk. Why? Because Torah is Hashem Temima. The Torah is perfect. And if Torah came to Israel, then it had to perfect them, because only perfect people can accept a perfect Torah. Now the Gemara brings something very profound, which we mentioned in a shir not long ago. The Gemara says in Brochas Daf Ches, Omar Abchir Baraba Mishmei Du'ula Godel Hanenem Yegi Akapov Yesu Miyori Shemayim. He who enjoys the work of his hands is greater than he who fears Hashem. Because by he who fears Hashem it states Ashrei, fortunate. But by the one who enjoys the work of his hands, it states Ashrecha v'teiv loch, fortunate, and it is good for you. Fortunate in this world and good for you in the next world. The Maral explains, because the person who's a Yorei Hashem, who fears Hashem, he's always worried. He's a mafachid, constantly worried. He's worried maybe he's not doing enough. Maybe he's not doing what he should do. Maybe he's not doing it perfect. So constantly he's in a state of da'ogo, of mafachid, of worry, of tension. So he's lacking. He's lacking. While the one who enjoys what he has, he serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu from love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a piece of bread, he's so happy with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a new suit, a new dress, he's so happy with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a home, gave him a wife, gave him children, he's happy. He's constantly blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has everything. He lacks nothing. By him it doesn't only say Ashrei, but Tov Loch. Tov, which means perfect. He lacks nothing. On Torah it says Tov. And not only will he have this world, he'll have the next world also. And from here we learn two great lessons. That even though, the Maral writes, it's impossible for a person not to be lacking in this world, but still, a great degree of the lacking depends on his mental attitude towards it. Most of the time we're lacking is because of our kino and our taifa and our covet, because we want more. Not because we're lacking in essence, but because we want more. The proof of it is, does only the poor man want more? And the wealthy man doesn't want more? And the one who has a million doesn't want more? That means the one who has 20 million is happy. The Gemara says, Yesh le mona, reitze mosayim. If you have 100, you want 200. So this that we're lacking in this world is because of our mental attitude towards what one has and what one doesn't have. A person has to be an osher bedaitoi. He has to be a someach bedaitoi. He has to be wealthy in his mind, happy in his mind. Like we see, people can have the whole world and they're still not satisfied. So from here we see that if you want the Ziv HaShchina, if you want that light which comes over the child in the womb of the mother, where he has everything he wants nothing else, then this is how a person has to live. Where he must enjoy what is given to him. Not like Western culture, like we live, where what we have we don't enjoy. And what we want to enjoy we don't have. That's our entire life. We want to enjoy what we don't have, and what we do have we don't enjoy, because we're constantly looking at what we don't have. And that's just opposite to this fellow in the womb of the mother that's totally satisfied. And therefore the ner is delik al reishoy. From here we learn that if a person wants Torah, he has to be besimcha. He has to be in joy. And he has to be a sameach, the helka. He has to be satisfied with his lot. And both of these things are mentioned in the Memchas Dvorim and the 48 attributes that a person needs for Torah. If you're going around depressed, or if you're going around worried, but lacking, you won't have Torah. States besimcha v'asomeach b'chelke. And Lithuania, which produced so many G'dayli Torah, they excelled at their simchas haTorah. The simcha that they had from Torah was greater than the entire world. They were so happy with it. And therefore they were zeichet to Torah. This is very important. Also, while we're on this, something we mentioned, Shabbos. For our times, and here in South Africa, when people go around depressed, and people go around complaining, and one has to think, the standard of living in South Africa for Jews, materially and spiritual opportunities, are the greatest in the world. Second to no place in the world. Kinahara, there's no restriction on spiritual opportunities whatsoever. There is no antagonism or adversary, Kinahara. And material, nothing lacks. And not only second to no place in the world, but you'll have to look a long way in history to duplicate it. It wasn't pre-war Poland, or Lithuania, or communist Russia, or Russia under the Tsar. And there Jews thrived, and Torah thrived. And this is because we have lost our capability of looking at something positively. We only look at negative factors. And this is what we're supposed to learn from this fellow in the womb of the mother. He's interested only in positive factors. And therefore, Melamdin Esei Kol HaTorah Kula, he learns all of the Torah. Then one final point. Mashbin Esei Shfuah. He gets a shfua, an oath he must swear. Ti tzadik v'al ti rosho. You must be righteous and not evil. What is a shfua? What is an oath? The Targum always writes on shfua kayomo. It is a bond. For example, if I say that I'm going to do such and such a thing, I'm going to give you such and such a thing, there's nothing which really forces me to keep that word. If we take shfuas, if we take oaths, now I am bound to what I undertook. The shfua is a bond. It binds you to the undertaking. Just as a rope or a chain will bind you to something physical, a shfua will bind you to a verbal undertaking. Now this is very important. This means that everyone that's born has a bond to fulfill the Retzein Hashem, to fulfill the will of the Almighty. Not like people think, and many academics and liberals would like us to think that way, that there is no nature in the person that wants to do right, because there's no difference between right and wrong. This is just merely for social or civil conveniences. Not so. This is what the world knows as conscience. There is a supernatural power in man which drives him to do what's right. drives him to do, fulfill the will of the Almighty. And this is the shvua, mashbin I say. We give him a shvua, tzadik v'al tiyrosho, be righteous and not evil. And everyone has this. This is a compass which directs us. That's on the positive side. On the negative side, a person should realize that if he goes away from the will of the Almighty, if he breaks the will of the Almighty, he shouldn't think it's nothing. He is destroying something in himself. Just like if you take a physical attachment, there is a spiritual attachment that he is destroying. And unfortunately, we are seeing this. We are seeing when there are so many of the Jewish youth being subjected to alien influences. Alien so-called cultural and intellectual influences, foreign philosophies, foreign cults and foreign idolatries, and promiscuity, and violence, and deviations from norms. This is not something that a person just does and forgets about it. But this destroys the inner makeup of the person to the point where we find on the rebound from this so many physical or emotional wrecks, because the person is mekusha, a person is bound, where by nature he wants to do the Ratzon Hashem, the will of Hashem. And if he rebels against it, then this snaps, this breaks, and can destroy a very sophisticated spiritual makeup in the person. This is what some Rav Samloy, a few of the great principles Rav Samloy learned from the Vlad B'Meimoy, from the young child while he's in the womb of the mother, that since Hatsur Tomim Po'olei, the works of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are perfect, then we cannot say that we're just casted into this world like a boat in the middle of a stormy ocean, not knowing where to turn and where to go, and at the mercy of the seas. If all of his works are perfect, then man surely is perfect. Man was the greatest of his works. So this means man was given all of the tools, all of the capabilities of achieving perfection in this world, of conquering this world. That he is a Pinchas, he is folded like an account book. Every act, good or bad, is recorded in him. Constantly, always, he is given the greatest ability to think, and therefore held responsible to think. And he's totally satisfied. What he needs and wants, nothing else. And he bows to his Creator. And therefore he's zeicher to the Ziv Hashkina, he's zeicher to the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he can see from one end of the world to the other, it's endless. Because he's totally satisfied and happy. And therefore he can be taught the entire Torah. And he is attached to his Creator by an invisible chain. And this is the Shvuah, the oath which he takes. These are principles that man must always remember to give him strength and direction in a world
which especially today lacks all direction. May we be zeche to be directed in the proper way, and together with all of Israel have a Gemar Hasima Tova, a year of goodness, of health, and Haromas Keren HaTorah, the uplifting of the crown of Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.